Seeking Jesus During COVID-19.
A Billboard Evangelism Phone Dialogue. Did you ever wonder what a phone team member encounters when he answers a phone call from a billboard caller? What kind of questions do people ask? What you are about to hear is an actual call conversation between a CAM phone team member and a billboard caller who dialed the toll-free number posted on every gospel billboard. Minor editing was done to remove all personal caller information and enhance the flow of the conversation for the listener. Keep in mind that this is only one call and not a complete representation of the team member's interaction with callers. You will probably think of other ways the team member could have responded, and in reality, he probably did too. Often after hanging up with a caller, a team member will think of things he wished he would have said. But we thank God and give Him the glory for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit in giving the right words and scripture verses to our phone team day after day as they minister to many callers. They really need your prayers.
Good evening. Thank you for calling. My name is Brenton. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I can be glad to help you with any questions, or if you have a spiritual request, that's what we're here for.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm sort of wondering what a spiritual request would be. I mean, I saw a billboard not too far from my apartment.
Do you remember what the billboard said or what was on it?
It spoke about Jesus. I don't really remember. I mean, it's sort of been passing, you know.
Yeah, I've
been inside pretty much. I'm beyond walking my dog, which, you know, I'm in New York City, so I'm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big city, so New York is a lot different from where I live right now, and with the involvement in this coronavirus, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Whereabouts are you located?
I live in a very rural part of Kansas, western Kansas, in a very small town. 900 people, no stoplights, no Walmart. We go 50 miles when we want to go to a big town to go shopping or, you know, do something.
Sorry, you said 900 people?
900 people, yeah. Oh, I mean,
I'm not passing any sort of judgment, but that seems so wild to me, you know. Coming from a city of millions, that's definitely polar opposite, I would say.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I have been to New York. You know, my wife and I have liked to travel a lot, and so we've been, really the only place we haven't been is up in the Northeast, but I've experienced New York, and I'm a small city guy versus a big city guy. You know, that's just my mentality. And
I got a question for you. I saw this billboard in my neighborhood, right? And just on a whim, like I'm not the sort of person that would ever kind of like, you know, indulge that thing or take it seriously or whatever. But like, how does it work? Like, are you part of like a network, or like when I call to get like more information? Or, I mean, honestly, man, it's because of how like sort of confined I've been. It's very nice to just talk to somebody, even if it's somebody that I have no idea who they are. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, no, that's cool. No, I'm all right. I'll give you just a little overview of what we do, if that's all right.
Yeah, I would love that.
There are 1,200 billboards across the United States. There are 30 men like myself that take calls. We take calls in our home. We are conservative Christian people. The billboards are put out there to prompt people's thoughts about eternity, about Jesus Christ. They're definitely on the religious side.
That's pretty obvious, yeah.
Creation, you know, where did we come from? Where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
And so we get a vast amount of calls, I mean, from A to Z. We get encouraging calls. We get discouraging calls.
You. Like the curiosity calls, we could say.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fine. So would you like for me to talk about Jesus or what I believe or my own testimony in my life?
Yeah. I mean, I would love that. I mean, I feel a little bit at a crossroads at the moment, you know, with everything that's happening.
So I'll just give you a little personal testimony, and then I'll speak about Jesus a little bit. But I'm 66 years old. I've been married for over 45 years. I have 4 grown children. I have 18 grandchildren. I grew up in California in the late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, that's cool. Whereabouts in California?
A town in the valley named Modesto.
Modesto, yeah, cool. I grew up in Orange County.
Oh, south, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you
south
know,
of Modesto, for sure.
Yeah, San Francisco was an hour away from us when I was a kid, and we used to go over there a lot. And it didn't do us any good because we went over there for party life. I mean, that's kind of what it was. And
I didn't mean to cut you off. I was going to say, were you raised religiously? Or
you know, my mother was a Christian. My father never was. And so, yes, we went to church. I was exposed to Christ, to church, to religion. But when I was 14, my dad left home and moved away, you know, married another woman. And so my mother, she had 2 boys, me and my brother. And at 14, you know, that's a tough age for, doesn't make any difference whether it's boys or girls. But I went into a big time rebellion thing, and I didn't listen. And I got very belligerent to the point to where I ended up in jail. You know, I mean, it was just, I'd done a lot of bad stuff. It's really not worth talking about. But
it resonates, man, because in a different way, when I was 13 going on 14, my dad passed. So in a similar way, you know, we both lost our fathers, but it resonates because that kind of set off like a little streak in me when I was a young man. But it's interesting because, you know, like, I was like raised loose, like very, very loosely Catholic. My father was South American, and his family was very devout Catholics, but he wasn't so much, you know, we do midnight mass, like we would, you know, I just remember sometimes going to mass with him, but it wasn't like a regular thing or anything that really like stuck with me, you know? So I can't say that I was raised religiously, but certainly a lot of like my friends and, you know, their families definitely, Orange County is a pretty conservative place. And, there was definitely a lot of like, I guess, you know, Christian families, for lack of a better term, you know, I don't know if I can't, you know what I mean?
Have you ever been married?
No, I haven't. I live with the woman that I plan on being married to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Her family is not very religious either, and so therefore she isn't either. I was just very curious because it's like when I saw the billboard in this neighborhood, it definitely seemed like I don't want to like sound disrespectful or rude or whatever, but it seemed a little bit out of place, right, for this neighborhood. So it got me like curious, you know. I wanted to know.
Does it seem too conservative for the neighborhood?
It just doesn't seem like, yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, like this neighborhood is filled with like street art and graffiti and ads for like, you know, whoever's putting out a new album or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I found it very like curious. So I wanted to kind of like see what it was about, you know?
So there's a reason that we put those billboards in those type of areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just being real honest with you, but there are many people that live in those types of areas that have never been exposed to Christ and who he is and what he has done and what he is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so those billboards are there, again, to prompt questions, just like an individual's like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me just put it this way. If someone in your life had done you super duper good,
mm-hmm.
I mean, something far beyond what you could imagine on the good side. I'm not talking about evil. I'm talking about good. You know, maybe they gave you $1 million. Maybe they give you $5 million. I mean, whatever to you would be monumental, that you would always honor and reverence that individual. And if somebody talked bad about him, you'd say, "Hey man, that guy gave me $5 million one time. How do you think I got where I'm at?"
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just going to flop that over into Jesus Christ, because that's what Jesus Christ has done for me. He gave me more than $5 million. He has given me the opportunity for eternal life. He's given me the opportunity to not have guilt in my life or the bad things that I've done. He's taken away my sin. He's covered it. It's done. There's some conditions. I have to believe in him. I have to have faith in him. I have to trust him. I have to have a new life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what brought me out back when I was a kid. I knew there was something better. I was tired of being in jail. I didn't want to live that lifestyle. I did not like the drug alcohol thing. I mean, I did. That was the problem. But I knew that if I continued on with it, and when I was a kid, we kind of had this term was, you know, they're going to make you make license plates. Well, in the California prison system, that's what the prisoners used to do. They made license plates.
Right.
And you know, so it was kind of like a thing. You know, I didn't want to make license plates. And
I heard that as a kid, yeah, too. Yeah.
I was close because I actually got arrested for a felony. And, you know, I mean, this thing was going to come down. And just by some chance, I got off on a little technicality. I didn't get off. I got the privilege to take counseling and have it reduced to a misdemeanor. And mm-hmm. then I got put on probation, you know. So it wasn't just that I didn't just walk free. That wasn't the point. But that's what Jesus is to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just in that mm-hmm. in that same relationship, you know, if somebody came to you and just said, "Hey, man, here's a new home, here's two new cars, I'll give you enough money to live the rest of your life."
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you? I mean, were you locked up, I guess, when you found God or you found Christ? Or
no, I was out. I got over that felony misdemeanor thing. I got through the probation.
Okay.
I straightened up enough to not get back involved in it again, but eventually I started to slide back into that cycle of that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And the closer I got to it, the more I remembered how that I didn't want to go there. And so then there was this internal struggle in me, you know. I mean, one thing was pulling one way, the other thing was pulling the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And there is one thing. When you come to the realization of Jesus Christ, everybody thinks, I'm not going to be able to do this anymore, or this anymore, or this anymore. I'm going to have to give this up or that up. I can't do that. And I know what that is, but looking at it now from the other side, it's not what mm-hmm. we gave up. It's what we gained. We gained so much more than what we ever had to give up. But you don't see it on the other side. You only see, well, I'm going to have to do good now. You know, I mean, in essence.
Right. Right, right.
And some people still want to party and say, well, I have to give up my partying. But the whole point is that partying becomes so minute in the overall picture of living for Christ, that once you look back on that and see that picture, it's easy to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah, just hard to get your mind around it, you know.
Right. And, I think I'm probably one of those people where it's like I just don't know enough about scripture and, you know, the Bible and religion and, you know, because like I said, I wasn't raised with that. So, yeah, I mean, I was curious.
Would you be open? I got free literature. I mean, I'm not pressing, but I'd be glad to send you three or four items if you'd be open for it.
Well, you know, I would. I mean, maybe you could just point me in the right direction in terms of, or you know, what, you know, sort of like, you know, made you turn the corner, for lack of a better phrase. You know what I mean?
Okay. Would you let me do this? Are you calling me on a cell phone?
I am calling you on a cell phone. Yes.
Would you allow me to text you some? I'll text you a website.
Okay.
Are you into watching a video?
Yeah, a link.
I can give you the link.
Yeah, 100%. That sounds great. I mean, honestly, that's, you know, obviously that's a little bit quicker than, you know, waiting for something in the mail. So I would love that.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. I would give you the website that's associated with those billboards that you saw, and that is gospelbillboards.org. Gospelbillboards.org. You can look that up there. There is some free email information. There's a couple of free books if you want them. You still got to put an address in, but
that's okay. Yeah, yeah.
To be honest,
just straight up, just curiosity. Like I said, it looked a little bit out of place in the neighborhood, so I was just very, very curious about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, just to give you a little bit more. I'll call it personal testimony, but we all have struggles in life, each and every one of us. And even though I'm older,
mm-hmm.
and really I don't have any physical struggles anymore in temptation, but now my biggest thing is mental, is keeping my mind where it needs to be. And
right.
And so I still need daily prayer and Bible reading. And there is one thing that if you ever want to know more about Jesus and you just want to do this on your own, there's only one book you need. And I would encourage you to get a New Testament. If you don't have one, again, I can
yeah,
send you
I
one.
Can't,
yeah,
I can't
you know,
that
you,
do,
you can get one.
Yeah, yeah.
I tell you, there's a good app on a phone. It's called Bible Gateway, and it's free.
Okay.
It doesn't cost anything. You can load it on your phone. It don't take up much room. And every day they give you a Bible verse. But because the bottom line is for me, the Bible is a living word. It is not static. It is not dead. In other words, it is capable to bring anyone that doesn't know about Jesus to the knowledge of Jesus and
okay.
the acceptance of him. It's complete. It's a complete written work that is actually living. It's alive because it can change your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to me. So now I'm a different guy than I used to be. I mean, I used to have bad language. I used to cuss. No offense. I mean, my mom called the authorities on me more than once because I was off the wall. And, there's more to life. There's a reason why we're all here, too. We're not just here just to be born and die and be buried and go back to dust. When we have a real purpose in life that we can see and we can kind of grasp a hold of, life has more meaning to it and it has more value to it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just going to relay this one last thing, and I don't mean to talk too much, but you know, there's a reason why.
No. I mean, I called you, man. You know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, I know. But there's a reason why I do what I do right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I don't mean to go overboard here, but to me, I am so excited about Christ and his deliverance from sin and his promise of eternal salvation, that heaven, the place where we'll go when we die if we're a believer, is so wonderful, I would like everybody to know about it, or at least have a chance at it.
Well,
that's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I actually didn't even think about the fact. I mean, I know you said you're in Kansas, right?
Kansas, yeah. Yeah, if you want to look on a map, you look on I-70. It goes from Denver to Kansas City, and you come in 100 miles from the Colorado-Kansas line. You go east, and the little town I live in is a little town called Quinter. And
Population 900.
Population 900. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we even have a website in town, you know. I mean, on the net. But
nice.
pleasure.
So just curious, could I ask you a couple of questions about New York?
Absolutely.
I mean, are people staying in or are people still out a lot?
You know, I live in a neighborhood in Brooklyn that is pretty, it's like a younger, like I said, the reason that I sort of noticed the billboard was because it's not the kind of thing that I would see normally around, you know, it's like a younger, population community. It's usually like, I would say like bustling. There's always a lot of people around, but now, and for the last, I would say, you know, at least 2 weeks, it's seemed sort of like a ghost town, except for, you know, we got like the post office, the FedEx guys.
Right.
And then, you know, I'm out, you know, a couple hours every day because I got 2 dogs that have to be walked, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm seeing everything, which is how I like kind of, I walked by one of the billboards and I was like, oh, that seems weird. Let me see what that's all about, you know?
No, I'm glad but you called, you know. It's cool.
Yeah. The other thing is like, you know, we got signs on every, all the businesses that are still, that remain open. A lot of them, believe it or not, that there's signs on the front, like, you know, 5 people at a time, please wait.
All right.
Or there's like, you know, if it's a grocery store with a lot of people, they have like, let's say masking tape marking where you should wait, you know?
Yeah.
So you're far enough away from everyone. But a lot of my friends and, friends of friends have all left before everyone, knew how serious it was here. So, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I actually have a friend of mine that lives in Ohio. She lost her husband a few years ago.
No, I'm sorry.
And she came into New York, and I think she's helping Samaritan's Purse.
Mm.
Down in one of the parks, they set up a temporary hospital.
Yeah, I saw that. I've seen some images of that. I mean, yeah. I'm not trying, you know, I don't wander too far away from, you know, besides like my local bodega, my local deli, just for essentials. But, yeah, I haven't seen anything like that around here. I hardly ever, you know, you don't see many people out anymore at all.
Mm.
It's a very strange situation because from what it was, you know, like typical, like what you think New York would be like, you know?
I'll tell you the time that I came to New York, I had about 3 or 4 hours to kill before I was at my appointment. And I thought I wanted to go down and see the Statue of Liberty. So I actually decided I wanted to walk. I got on the subway. I got off wherever the subway gets off, where the Twin Towers used to be, and I walked out to wherever that area is, you know, that you go out to see the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
And it was in the late spring, and it must have been when all the school kids were taking tours of the Statue of Liberty. And when I got down in there, and I saw like 20,000 people lined up. That's an exaggeration, but
no, I know.
I realized, hey, I'm not going to do this today. You know,
yeah.
It was just like, woo. So I just kind of hung out a while. I got me a little something to eat and killed some time, you know, till I got to my appointment.
Yeah,
and then I got out of town. So,
right, it's pretty wild. You see all these photos of just like empty subway stations, you know, like train stations are, they're, you know, I live very close to one. So that was like, you know, a huge point of like, you know, foot traffic, but you don't see it anymore. We have a ferry that runs through the East River. Like, I don't think anyone's really even using it, you know, but yeah, all this like public transportation, you see buses driving by, there might be like one person, two people on it. It's pretty spooky, you know?
Well, that's interesting. I'll send you a little information here on a text form, a couple of links, okay. And, you know,
sure.
Look at them.
That'd be great. I'm thinking about it now. I didn't mean to like interrupt. If you know, I don't know what time it is over there, but like, I very much appreciate your time. Like, it was nice of you to like take my call and give me some information.
You know, again, that's why we're here. It's not, I don't take any credit for what I do. I want to give the glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. No, and it's not late. I'm still on call. Like, of these 30 men that take calls, we live all across the United States. Some of them in California, Oregon, Washington, Wisconsin, Texas, Kansas, Arkansas, Ohio, Indiana, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, our times vary a little bit. Generally, there's two or three of us on in the evenings. When you get late in the evening, there's just one. Sometimes on heavy call days, traffic commuter times, there's more people traveling. They see more signs. You know, so they call more. And we get a lot of repeat callers. I have an extension 383. You know, if you ever want to call back 83 for truth, and it'll ask you, if you go for operator, it'll say, if you know your extension, enter it now. And if I'm not taking calls, there's a voicemail. And if you leave me a voicemail, I'll respond to it. It may not be just immediately, you know, but...
No. That sounds like kind of a big workload, but I appreciate that you're around. I mean, again, the totally like blind phone call just based on what I saw walking around. And this has been like very informative and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah. Have a good evening and stay safe, you know.
Yeah.
God bless you.
I will.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Good night.
Goodbye.
Would you like to be involved in the Billboard Evangelism program? Here are several ways. Please pray for our dedicated phone team who speaks with thousands of spiritually hungry Americans over the phone. Sign up to receive an urgent prayer alert on your phone and a weekly email containing several prayer requests concerning callers' spiritual needs. To listen to recorded prayer requests, call 330-800-9203 anytime. The door of opportunity to present Jesus and His Word on billboards is wide open. CAM has established excellent connections with our nation's largest billboard companies, enabling us to obtain significant discounts. $1 presents a gospel message over 1,000 times. If you wish to impact Americans with a gospel message, your help will be greatly appreciated. The Adopt a Billboard sponsorship program is a personalized way to sponsor a billboard. Call the CAM office and request an Adopt a Billboard sponsorship sheet to choose which billboard you would like to sponsor. If you would like to stay updated on the Billboard Evangelism Program and learn more about the effect these gospel billboards are having on America, sign up to receive Billboard Evangelism's free quarterly newsletter. To sign up for any of the prayer options and quarterly newsletter, or to make a contribution, please call 330-893-2428 or visit our website at ChristianAidMinistries.org.